I want to speak to you briefly this morning, or lead us into communion. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. My notes here, and I've got 6 points, and I'm thinking, clock says 11:20. Something's not adding up here. Something's not adding up. So I'm just looking over, and I'm going to grab 1 point that I feel maybe the Lord would want us to hear this morning. Here's what we'll go with. Let's read the scripture, because we're going to be breaking bread after, but the Apostle Paul's writing to the believers at the city of Corinth, and this particular church, a lot of things were happening, a lot of good things were happening in this church. And there was a lot of things that were doing wrong, you might say. And so Paul brought it to their attention. He's teaching them. And he says to this church, in the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. Wow, it's quite an exhortation. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you. And to some extent, I believe it. No doubt there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. When you come together, it is not the Lord's table, it's not the Lord's supper you eat. For as you eat, each of you goes ahead without waiting for anyone else. One remains hungry, another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God, the family of God, and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you for this? Certainly not. For I, and then we go on. So he's teaching the church there, and then he goes on what happened that night. He's received from the Lord what took place. And if you read John chapter 13, the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table. For I received from the Lord what I passed on to you, the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed. You'll find it in John 13. He took bread. He took bread, and I bet you he broke it. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Talks about the bread. And then he goes on in the same way after supper. He took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let's keep going. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for each other. If anyone is hungry, he should eat at home, so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. And when I come, I will give further directions. Would there be an amen this morning? Here's what I want to say. Out of 6 points, I'm grabbing this one. Verse 28, it says, before you partake of the Lord's table, we're to examine our neighbor. I think that's the sermon. Stop it! Doesn't that come natural? We're coming in, and let me just give a little background to this. There's the unworthy manner part. Go home and read it again. What's the unworthy manner? When it says therefore in the Bible, look before what he's just said. What's the unworthy manner? They're showing disrespect to the body of Christ. They're humiliating their brothers in Christ, whom Christ died for. The poor, they're treating a certain way. This church is doing this. Some are getting drunk. It's just, back then, they called it a love feast, and it was a big event. It was not just, we condense it down to this little portion of Scripture where he took the bread and he took the wine, and we celebrate that. But back then, it was a bigger celebration. It would include Soup Sunday together and a much bigger celebration. And some were eating. They didn't give a rip about the family members. And anyways, Paul brings this correction. But that's the unworthy manner he's just talked about, disregarding our brothers and sisters in Christ, whom he died for. And so here I'm just condensing into the examine your neighbor or examine yourself, is that that's our walk with God. God wants us examining our lives, not only Communion Sunday, but every day. Every day. Get up. We're starting a new day. Lord, I woke up in the middle of the night and I sinned then. What do you mean you sinned, Al? Well, I was worrying instead of trusting you. The enemy was tempting me to worry on this problem and stuff. Rather than giving it to you and focusing on God's undertaking for me here, I fell into worry. So first thing, usually when I get up in the morning, I got to confess my sin to God. And it's a good thing. It's just like having a bath or a shower. We get crud on us as we go through our day, and we just need a bath. We all recognize that. Get cleaned up. And it's the same with getting up every morning. I'm starting my day with my Heavenly Father. Hey, Lord, can you wash me off here? Sometimes he might show you something specific. Yeah, Al, you better, like this morning, confessing to the church about being stupid in my leadership. By the way, that incident is going to make great preaching if they ask me to go over to Pincher or something like that. It's a beautiful illustration. I said, I can talk to leaders and I say, hey, you want to know how stupid I was when I did this? And it's a teaching method, though. But every morning we can get before the Lord and we can ask and get washed and cleaned up. We're coming into communion this morning. Examine yourself, Lord. The Psalm says in Psalm 139, 23 and 24, make it your prayer. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Because I believe in all our heart's desire as we've accepted Christ, we really want to please the Lord and do well. And we know that part of that is always staying clean with the Lord as he washes us continually. And so here it says, examine yourself. It doesn't say your neighbor, but you don't have to be examining your neighbor. If you really have a problem with your neighbor and how they live and this, that, and the other thing, go to your knees. Go to your knees. You can actually change things through prayer. And so if you see something and you're not looking at your own life and you want to look at them, do it like this. If you really must, get on your knees. If it's your neighbor or somebody in the church, say, Lord, this is bothering me. I see something possibly in their life, and I see in the scripture that they're not living up to the standard that I want to impose on them. But Lord, I leave them with you. Matter of fact, I don't only leave them with you, I intercede for them because I love them and I want your best for them. You see the difference? We do want our brothers and sisters to do well, and there are times where, oh my goodness, you see them going and doing the same foolish things that you did. And you want to prevent them from doing that. And so rather than going and grabbing them by the scruff of the neck, change! And hitting them over the head with Big Bertha of the Bible there, boom! No, you want to talk about them? First talk to God about them. And intercede. And as that flows through our church and we're compassionate for one another, boy, the love that's going to happen in here when people walk in the doors. As I might say, I heard recently, two testimonies. When they walked in the door, one fella said that, I knew I was home. They didn't even know God. But there's something that happens here on a Sunday morning. The Spirit of the Lord is here that arrests people's hearts. It's a welcoming place. And you know who the Holy Spirit uses to do that? You and you. You're the hands and feet of Christ extended. Anyways, here's where I'm going to cut off here. We're all under construction team. We're all being conformed to the image of Christ, and God's continually working in us. And he wants us examining ourselves, coming clean with him so that he may empower us to do his deeds, to walk the way he wants us to walk. And he, I'll illustrate one example in my own life. It happened recently, real recently, about patience. I think I talked about this 4 months ago. Well, God brought me around to it again. And so the fruit of the Spirit, as I read, you want to examine yourself? Look at the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, 22, 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, meekness, and self-control. Be gentle with one another. If you've got to correct somebody, the Bible tells, do it in love and in gentleness. The Lord was working on my patience in the last little while. I told you a while ago that I was going to get my first pension check. Yeah. Do you remember hearing that? Yeah. Weren't you here? Oh, I was just so excited. Like, we're talking 40 years. I've been working, and I'm getting forward, and all of a sudden, the opportunity is there. I was told that I was eligible for my pension. Matter of fact, last January 1st. And I've been getting excited, and then I'm adding up pension retroactive to January 1st. And since September or so, I'm looking forward to this check. And I'm writing down the numbers, and man, I'm pumped. Like, ooh. And then all of a sudden, I'm not getting my check. And I'm thinking, and I'm phoning the guy and saying, hey, Dave, you know, I've done all the paperwork, and did you get the paperwork? And kind of, yeah, well, let me check, and shuffling around. Oh, yeah, I found it here. Yeah, I will submit that and stuff. And, oh, okay, thanks, appreciate it. And I've been waiting and waiting, and it hasn't come. And finally, when God, that happens in your life, when you ask God, Lord, so I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, one, I could tell I was getting impatient, but two, I said, Lord, what are you doing in me here? Why is there a delay there? Why is it being delayed? And as I gave it to God, and then I know that God was working in me, he obviously showed me he's wanting to work on my patience. Doesn't that make sense? So all I'm saying is this. It's a big event in my life. It might not be too big in yours. But God is wanting to. The fruit of the Spirit, I've been praying, love, joy, peace, patience. And here God's working with me. He wants to work. And he uses something in my life that he gets attention. And I tell you, he got my attention because I not only was looking forward to that money, but I've got a plan for that money. I just want to get my hands on that so that it could go where I feel the Lord is leading me to plant that money. Anyways, just a thought. Just like my life, we're all the same, folks. We're following Christ. He's working on each one of us. And when you feel that poke, or you feel that somebody's blocking your goals, as Mr. Dave down there in Vancouver was blocking my goal, I thought it, but it wasn't him at all. It was the Lord blocking my goal to get my attention because he wants to answer my prayer that I have more patience in my life. Anyways, let's... Pardon me? Yeah. I told him that already, honey. Okay, I'm going to close off here. It's good. Sometimes when I'm going to preach a message, I'm so thankful that God has her downstairs teaching Sunday school, Kingdom Christ. And for this reason, sometimes I like her input. Sometimes it's, oh, honey, it's the wrong time. Like, for instance, I throw out the dates. I just, you know, and I'm up here talking, and look, most of the time, the dates are really important to me, but a lot of time, they don't mean nothing. I'm just trying to box it in, so I'll say, last September. It doesn't matter. But she'll remember there was actually October. And so we'll go home, and, you know, I'll feel the message went well, and people receive it. She says, Al, you got to tell them the truth. You can't be exaggerating. Honey, for crying out loud, like, I'm not thinking about that. But those measures God puts in our life for purpose and reason, so... We'll go down that trail another day. Thank you for your input, honey. Let's get back to examining ourselves, not our neighbor. And we're going to pause, and we're going to... actually, I'll probably ask Carrie Ann to give us direction on how we're going to take communion here, because this morning we've got the tank here, so we can't, obviously, we don't want to get boxed up here. But can you come, honey, and just... And then... That's as soon as you say that, I'm going to ask the helpers to come through.